Standing on the stable loft ladder, fetching horse fodder, the 16-year-old Maryland slave felt a chill of terror as a calloused hand suddenly seized his leg from below. Looking down, Frederick Douglass saw the scowling farmer intent upon roping his legs together. The beating this time, Frederick feared, would be the worst of all. He felt desperate. Edward Covey had flogged him mercilessly for half the year Frederick had been hired out to the notorious nigger breaker. Covey's reputation in 1834 enabled him to hire cheap farmhands from slave owners who wanted the spirits of their obstinate slaves broken. The scars on Frederick's back testified to Covey's brutal instruction. But now, Frederick felt he had reached the level of his endurance. Yet to resist was unthinkable. No slave dared try to stop a beating at white hands. The most he could do was try to huddle under the blows until his master or overseer grew exhausted or wearied of the sport. Heart in his throat, Frederick sprang off the ladder, but Covey's grip on his leg brought him sprawling onto the stable floor with a crash. Covey sprang on him, attempting to tie his ankles. Frederick leapt away. Covey pounced on him again, fists cocked. Frederick's last ounce of prudence vanished. Even if it meant his death for defiance, he would not take another beating. Each time Covey aimed a blow at his face, Frederick blocked it. Finally, he gripped Covey's wrists so hard that his fingernails drew blood. Appalled by this unexpected audacity, Covey trembled with rage. "Are you going to resist, you scoundrel?" he roared. "Yes, sir," the young man replied politely through clenched teeth. Quote, "Whence came the daring spirit? I do not know," he recalled later, adding, "The fighting madness had come upon me, and I found my strong fingers attached to the throat of my cowardly tormentor, as heedless of consequences at the moment, as though we stood as equals before the law. The very color of the man was forgotten. I felt as supple as a cat, and I was ready for the snakish creature at every turn. Every blow of his was parried, though I dealt no blows in return. I was strictly on the defensive, preventing him from injuring me, rather than trying to injure him. I flung him on the ground several times when he meant to have hurled me there. I held him so firmly by the throat that his blood followed my nails. He held me, and I held him." End of quote. They struggled together for 2 hours. Finally, Covey bawled out to his cousin, William Hughes, to help him subdue the recalcitrant slave. Running to them, Hughes gripped Frederick's hands and tore them away from Covey. "Got him," Hughes exulted. In one defiant motion, Frederick swung his leg up savagely, kicking Hughes in the groin. Groaning in anguish, the cousin released his grip. He staggered back, bent over in pain, and lost any further interest in battle. Aghast and totally taken aback, Covey looked from his moaning cousin to the audacious young slave on the floor. "Do you mean to persist in your resistance?" he raged. "I do, come what might," Frederick panted. "You've used me like a brute for 6 months, and I don't intend to allow you to do it anymore." Furious, Covey tried to drag him just outside the stable door toward a plank with which he could beat Frederick. But just as Covey leaned over to grab it, the young slave seized him by the collar with both hands and hurled him to the ground. Suddenly frightened, Covey rose, panting. He stared at Frederick as though he had never seen him before. Grabbing him, Covey yelled for hired slave Bill Smith to help. "What shall I do, Master Covey?" Smith asked innocently. "Take hold of him, of course," Covey howled. Smith blinked his eyes. "Indeed, Master Covey, I just want to go to work." "This is your work," Covey roared. "Take hold of him."